It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Modeling can help show health officials when the coronavirus is expected to peak.
That gives time for hospitals in West Virginia to prepare to get more ventilators on time.
And you had questions about COVID-19. We have answers. Stay tuned. This is West Virginia Morning. So far, health officials have reported 2 deaths related to the coronavirus in West Virginia, but more are likely due to the population here. The disease seems to strike the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions hardest. But when will the virus peak in West Virginia, and what challenges will it put on the state's healthcare system? Dave Mistich reports.
West Virginia has about a month until coronavirus peaks here. And when it does, just under 500 West Virginians, give or take a few hundred, are expected to die. That's according to data projections from the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation.
Because you have a vulnerable population, that you are more likely to have more deaths among your population. So you guys have to be extra careful in order of enforcing these measurements and making sure that people stay at home.
That's Dr. Ali Mokhtad. He's one of the professors at the University of Washington working on the projections. Mokhtad says projected deaths in the state may be higher per capita because West Virginia's population is high risk. Coronavirus has hit older adults and people with underlying health conditions the hardest. However, he says it's possible to improve the projections depending on what governments do to stop the spread of the disease.
We assumed, unlike anybody else, that there are measures in place to fight that pandemic.
For example, he says a stay-at-home measure, the closure of schools, and shutting down non-essential businesses will impact the number of cases a state sees.
So, like, you cannot assume a fire will run wild. You'll have to assume that our fire, man and fire trucks working against it.
And having those fire trucks, so to speak, available may make all the difference, especially in a place like West Virginia that actually has time to prepare. The most current projections show West Virginia will see the worst impact of the coronavirus in early May.
That gives time for hospitals in West Virginia to prepare to get more ventilators on time. And then, for example, some of the operating room or some of the recovery room after an operation could be switched to be an ICU bed. So the fact that the peak is delayed is very good news for West Virginia.
Right now, Mokhtad and his team are trying to forecast the impact of the coronavirus on each state in the U.S. But looking into the future has its challenges.
We don't know how many people have coronavirus in the U.S. right now because, as you know, we're lagging in testing. We don't have enough tests and we don't know how many people are sick.
The main goal of their work is to pinpoint when states will see the highest number of cases. As cases rise, hospitals will experience surges, which can cause shortages of resources like intensive care unit beds and ventilators. When hospitals don't have enough of those resources in place, more people die, as was seen in Italy. So Mokhtad and others on his team are using reported deaths and mitigation practices to project trends on when deaths will spike in the U.S. and in states.
In the United States, now with all the reporting, we know for sure what people are dying from coronavirus and how many of them are dying on a daily basis.
Based on the Institute's current projections, West Virginia will likely have enough hospital beds available to handle the expected surge in COVID-19 cases. But there's also likely to be some real challenges ahead. If the projected curve rings true, the state will be short dozens of ICU beds when the virus peaks. The more a population stays at home, Mokhtad says, the more likely it is to reduce the spread of the virus and prevent resource strains at hospitals, which in turn could reduce deaths. Dr. Clay Marsh is vice president and executive dean of health sciences at West Virginia University. Last week, Governor Jim Justice appointed him to be the state's coronavirus czar. Marsh said in a phone interview with West Virginia Public Broadcasting that while modeling is a good guide for officials leading the response to the virus, these are unprecedented times.
I think that the benefit of these kind of models, it starts to demonstrate what are the critical things that you can do as a state and as a person and as a community that are within your control to do to change models that look like bad things are going to happen and replace it with models or the reality that shows that it's not nearly that bad.
Marsh says the state's supply of ventilators should be enough to cover the expected need. He also said hospitals should be able to flex resources to make sure enough ICU beds are available when a surge happens. And as Marsh noted at Thursday's virtual news conference, projections for West Virginia continued to improve.
The projection is we'll need less ICU beds today than we did yesterday, and that fewer people are predicted to die from this COVID-19 pandemic than was yesterday. And as we talked about, although following these trends can be very useful as a guide for us, that the future will be written by what we keep doing, not what we've done today.
Marsh cautions that there's a reality to the pandemic that is inescapable at this point.
And it doesn't mean that people aren't going to get sick from the virus. They will. It doesn't mean that people won't die from the virus here in West Virginia. They will. It doesn't mean that we're not going to see celebrities and people that we have seen in TV and maybe even some of our friends die, because that's going to happen too, I believe.
But he says he's hopeful if West Virginians continue to follow public guidance, the state can have outcomes better than projections, like the ones from the University of Washington. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
The coronavirus pandemic is moving so quickly, it can be hard to keep up with all the information. So the Ohio Valley Resource and its partner stations asked what you wanted to know. And you had questions. Cindy Bowles spoke with an infectious disease specialist to get some answers.
Dr. Gerald Kirsch is the director of the Collaborative Research Corps at Boston University's National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory. We asked him to answer some listener questions about coronavirus symptoms and exposure. Kevin Rogers from Franklin County, Ohio, wants to know, when someone fully recovers from the coronavirus, are they immune from catching the strain of the coronavirus again?
Well, the honest answer is we don't know, and maybe. There are a couple of anecdotes in China that says people who have been ill, recovered, can get infected again. But that doesn't mean that they've been reinfected. That may mean they have a relapse.
WKYU listener Tyler Ellis asks, has there been any correlation between death rate and blood type?
It's interesting scientifically. I don't know what relevance it has for anybody to worry about their blood group in relation to susceptibility to this infection. The public health measures that we can take to mitigate the social distancing, the hand washing, the sanitizing, all of those have a clear impact on the transmission and extent of the infection in the population. Blood group won't make a heck of a lot of difference.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting listener Marilyn Ormsby has a question for us. Let's let her ask.
Well, the one thing I have noticed during the quarantine, if you will, of this is that I can sleep in the mornings way later than I used to. And I wondered if that was a symptom of any of the effects of the disease.
Well, I don't know in the particular instance of your listener. I would say that the isolation of kind of self quarantine and the anxiety may be part of the reason this individual is feeling like they need more sleep.
Kenneth Gray, also in West Virginia, has a question about protective equipment. He asks, if I wear a mask or gloves and get exposed to the virus, if I let them sit for more than 72 hours, can I reuse them?
Whether or not those masks have been contaminated, you won't know. And whether or not the virus can survive, we don't have good enough data. I don't exactly know how to answer that question for your listener. I haven't seen that information. But what I am saying is that be prudent, don't panic. And being prudent has to do with the three most important things now. Don't go out if you don't have to. The second thing is the social distancing, that 6 feet barrier to protect you from these aerosols. And the third thing is hand washing.
That was Dr. Gerald Kirsch at Boston University's National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory, answering some of your questions about the coronavirus. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles.
Ask your questions about coronavirus at wvpublic.org. The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Songwriter Joe Pug has made 6 appearances on Mountain Stage since 2008. His ability to paint a scene is among his greatest gifts, as you can hear in our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, After Curfew.
We found you in the street with a list of all our names. There were stars beside the strongest and the weakest. They cut you quite a deal, almost too good to refuse. But some of us don't just worship what's convenient. We thought that our distance was safe, but wickedness can travel. You are not fragile. You are not fragile. You are not fragile. And your father, rest his soul, the finest man I ever knew, spoke a truth that was clean as an island. They gave him every chance to repeat the party line, but he shattered their windows with his silence. So they took him out back in the rain, and they made him an example. You are not fragile, you are not fragile, you are not fragile. In the nation half the war, and they left behind the two-faced and the useless. On the first of every month, the neighbors gather on our lawn, and we dance for their mercy like we're minstrels. They dug up the headstones last night and broke them into gravel. You are not fragile. 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 You are not fragile.
That was Joe Pug performing After Curfew live on Mountain Stage. To hear this performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.